This is CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hey, 87, welcome back. It's so cold, blank. Text us 580-580. We're trying to warm up here with some humor this morning. The blast of Arctic air and extreme temperatures that we have been seeing. So the first day of outdoor winterlude activities wiped out on Friday. So we've seen some delays in opening for today, but it's still going ahead so far. Melanie Bro is the director of Capital Celebrations at Canadian Heritage, which includes winterlude and Canada Day celebrations, and she joins us to chat about this morning. Melanie, good morning. I hope you're warm.
Good morning. I am. And I just want to say it's a gorgeous day in our nation's capital today.
That sunshine is going to be beautiful as it comes
is.
Up. Bundle up if you are heading out today. But it sounds like, you know, with the delays this morning, a little bit of a delayed start, but everything's going to go off without a hitch.
Exactly. We had to make some pretty tough decisions yesterday, Andrew, but I think in the end, it's really about health and safety for the festival goers, the hundreds of volunteers that we have that help us out at Winterlude, but also the employees that make everything happen. So today, all of the outdoor activities will be getting underway. So we have the opening of Snowflake Kingdom, which will be at noon. So we've delayed it a little bit just to make sure that we've got a little bit warmer temperatures. I understand that the wind should be dying down by about noon, so it should be a little bit more manageable. Reminder that we have a huge refuge, like a heated, huge space. So families can take breaks in there throughout the day whenever they come to visit us at Snowflake Kingdom over at Jacques Cartier Park.
Definitely some good information. And I know OC Transpo shuttles are starting at noon today as well. And also, in my understanding, we're going to see the launch of the National Ice Carving Championship this morning as well.
Exactly. So that's actually going to get started at 10 a.m. on Spark Street. These are ice carving pros who have experience of working in a very frigid temperature. So we've spoken with all of them and they agreed to have the competition delayed to start this morning. So it's going to run from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. They'll be taking breaks throughout the day as well. And then they'll be resuming tomorrow, Sunday, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. So it'll be finished at 2 p.m. And then at that point, we're going to be taking fabulous photos of all of the ice carvings. They're going to be put on our website so Canadians right across the country can actually vote for the top three. But coming to see them live and in person with the ice carving is just such a magical experience. And I know that the weather is supposed to warm up for tomorrow, so it would be a great experience to come out even on Sunday or later today as well, too.
And just that in-person aspect of it, just something you mentioned there, you know, it's been a few years since we've been able to kind of do this. Just for you, you know, how exciting is it to be able to get back and going here, you know, even if it is a day late?
As you mentioned, we've been away for the last 2 years. Of course, we were doing virtual events, but to be back in person is just so phenomenal. And what's incredible this year is that it's the 45th edition of Winterlude. It just blows my mind, 45 years that Winterlude has been going on. And Winterlude runs right up until February 20th. So just want to make sure everybody knows we're here for the next 3 weekends. It includes the Family Day weekend, so the Monday in Ontario where folks are off. And there's stuff that's happening right across our national capital region in Gatineau, in Ottawa. We have tons of partners. And in fact, we even have lots of partners today that have activities indoors. So if I can just quickly mention, if you want to bring your family and stay warm, the RCMP Musical Ride Stables, they're inviting folks to come and meet the riders and pet their horses. And I did a sneak peek a little bit earlier this week, and those horses are gorgeous. So that's from 10 to 3 p.m. today. So that's a great indoor activity. Or you can even go retro roller disco blading at the Aberdeen Pavilion over at Lansdowne Park. And that's happening all weekend long. So take a look and get more information on our website.
Yeah, lots of selfie opportunities there with a horse and rollerblading as well. And just in terms of, is there anything new this year that people may not have anticipated after a couple of years of being at Winterlude?
Perhaps. Maybe I can mention quickly that tomorrow we actually have a Winterlude powwow. So we've coordinated this with a lot of our Indigenous partners. And this is going to be happening at the Museum of History. and it'll be running from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. So it's really an amazing opportunity to learn more about Indigenous culture. And there'll be lots of drumming, there'll be lots of dancers. And it's something that we invite Canadians and people in the local area to come and participate and enjoy and learn more.
Which always is a fun time, and especially, I don't know, it's just a feel around Winterlude. I know we don't have the canal open this year, but it definitely still feels great. I guess just the message for people heading out for today, it is cold, as we've mentioned. Is there any kind of tips out there to try to stay warm? You mentioned the refuge that is there.
Of course, yeah. And, you know, Winterlude is all about coming out and celebrating the joys of Canadian winter. And I giggle as I say it because, yeah, Mother Nature has really kept us on our toes lately. I can't stress enough for folks just to really dress appropriately, bundle up, make sure that you've got layers on, make sure to cover your face at least, you know, today, Saturday, because it's still chilly. And, you know, if you're coming down to Spark Street or even in the Byward Market, there's lots of activities. The good news is that there's tons of restaurants. You can pop in, have a hot chocolate, a coffee, a tea, and warm up and get back outside. So try to do it in smaller spurts of time, maybe think 10, 15 minutes, and then try to warm up a little bit. But back by tomorrow on Sunday, I think we'll be back to really good temperatures to come outside and really enjoy Winterlude.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it'll be good for the next few weeks as well. And running until February 20th, you mentioned, right?
Exactly, yes.
So you can find more information on Heritage Canada's website as well. But Melanie, thank you so much for the update this morning, and stay warm.
Thank you. And if I could just say to everybody, happy Winterlude.
Happy Winterlude. Melanie Burrow, Director of Capital Celebrations at Canadian Heritage. That includes Winterlude as well. So seeing a little bit of a delayed start this morning with some of those events after the outdoor events were wiped out yesterday because of this intense weather that we are getting right now. So let's double check on the current temperature right now. Minus 32, feeling like minus 38. We've gone up feeling 2 degrees warmer over the past half hour, so that's good news. But we are expecting the sunshine to stick with us throughout the day today. Chance of some light snow this afternoon, so beware of that. The wind's still with us, as you will feel out there. Only going to get up to feeling about like minus 23 this afternoon. There is a risk of frostbite, so once again, be careful out there. An extreme cold warning is in effect for Ottawa and the surrounding area, much of eastern Ontario, much of Ontario and Canada, actually, as this polar vortex makes its way down through the U.S. northeast as well. Tomorrow, just finishing up on the forecast here, we'll see between 2 and 4 centimeters of snow, wind gusting in the afternoon, the wind chill feeling like minus 13 in the morning, a balmy minus 13 tomorrow morning. Cloudy, a chance of flurries in the afternoon, low minus 11. So the slow climb has already begun, but it's going to be a very slow climb over the next 24 hours or so. 8:14 here on CFRA Live. Still to come at the bottom of the hour, our weekly rundown panel going over some top local news stories, some national news stories as well. Wanted to get everybody's thoughts on the cold weather. How are you surviving this week? But also, is it time we kind of rethink this whole Groundhog Day celebration thing? Mitch, get your thoughts on this. Thoughts and prayers, of course, to our brethren in Quebec this week who are mourning the loss of Fred LaMarmotte, its famous groundhog. I guess, how do you put this delicately? It was a very epic story in terms of how that was told this week. So, you know, Groundhog Day, groundhog sees its shadow. 6 more weeks of winter, it doesn't. It's the other way around. Doesn't see a shadow 6 more weeks of winter. It does see its shadow early spring. Well, they were getting ready, as everybody was, right? And when they went to make the announcement, they found that the groundhog was no longer alive. He had passed away.
Tragic.
So you've got this whole day of celebrations built up to this, and then you have to make this really awkward and tragic announcement. And I'm just... This is an epic fail. This happened to Wyerton Willie last year, too. It was a big scandal. People don't think that groundhogs live forever, right? Secondly, do we have to kind of give up on this? Has this passed? Has the time passed for this kind of celebration?
I don't think the time has passed, but you're right. Groundhogs don't live forever. I think the lifespan of a groundhog is like Well, I'm Googling it now because I'm very curious. Yeah. And it says, like, sometimes up to 6 years, 2 to 3 being the average. So groundhogs, you're right, they don't live forever. This kind of thing happens all the time when they're all ready to go and then the groundhog kicks the bucket. Could you imagine if groundhogs actually live forever? Could you imagine an eternity of just waking up and
how about that existence?
That pageantry,
right?
Of everyone gathering around to see if you see your shadow. I feel like that would be...
It's like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day, but just, you know, being a groundhog.
Yeah, that would be like being consigned to hell for the rest of your life. Just...
Exist, yeah. Yo, what about him's story, right? Not looking at it from the groundhog's perspective. It's an epic Netflix biopic that I need to see now. The story of Schubanek and Sam. Uncut. It's so cold out, blank. To get to a couple of texts here before the break here. Come back, we'll chat about ChatGPT. Making the rounds on social media. Terrifying some, but you know, some seeing it as a positive change for good. In education. We'll talk about that coming up. But Bill in West Ottawa says, Andrew, it's so cold, Greta Thunberg has changed her mind on global warming. Darcy says, even polar bears are booking Sunwing flight packages down south. It's so cold, even my bank account is in the minus. That hits too close to home. Yesterday was payday. That hits way too close to home. Oh, it's so cold, I told the dog to poop in the house. I won't even be mad. Oh, boy. It's so cold, the cops are wearing kid gloves. Oh, boy. Oh, 818. We'll take a quick break here. This is CFRA Live. Chat GPT when we come back.
Welcome back to CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
You've been reading and hearing a lot about ChatGPT. It's the latest artificial intelligence tool, chatbot. It's been used to write essays, write poetry, in one case, pass a law exam even. Many educators have been concerned about it being used for cheating and other nefarious purposes, but can it be harnessed for good? At least one expert thinks so. He is George Velichanos, a professor at Royal Roads University in BC and Canada's research chair in innovative learning and technology. And George talks about this morning. George, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And just on this front, I don't think I've seen a single positive story about ChatGPT and its possible positive uses. So this really grabbed me. And as an educator, obviously you see some value in this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think technologies have value and a role to play in education. And not just this one, but earlier ones where people had similar concerns. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that technologies can be integrated in various different ways, and it largely depends on how we use them.
And for ChatGPT specifically, I guess, where do you see as a possible, I guess, inroad for helping people with not just, you know, access to education, but just helping them learn?
So, you know, a lot of this depends on how faculty use it in their classrooms. So depending on what it is that they're trying to get to with their students, they might develop different assignments for it, right? They might ask students to use it to generate, say, an essay on a topic, and then take the content that it provides, revise it to make it better, identify perhaps misconceptions in whatever the technology produced, basically work to improve it, right? Because this technology will be available to students once they leave our classrooms, right? So they will encounter it in the future. So figuring out how they can use it, how they can make it better, is going to be an important skill for them.
And also those who perhaps, you know, have English as a second language, this could also be useful in terms of just harnessing, I guess, the ability of the English language.
Yeah, that's a possibility. And, for language teachers can figure out creative ways to use it in their classrooms, let's say. different disciplines teach their topics in different ways. So, you know, the way that it might be used in, say, an English language classroom might be different in how it can be used in an engineering classroom, right?
Yeah. So
what's exciting to me is that once more people start playing with it and figuring it out, we're going to see different kinds of uses for it.
And you say, you know, kind of playing with it. It is kind of open source on that front. Do you think there's, you know, I guess, more possibilities out there for this to be strengthened and used for positive because, you know, it is open source. People can make improvements all the time.
Well, the technology is currently available for free. I believe the platform or the company that's behind it has released sort of a paid version of it as well. But, you know, if it's not this technology, it's going to be others that are sort of powered by similar, they're called large language models, right? Like the technology underpinning ChatGPT. There'll be other technologies that are working on sort of similar approaches.
You know, some of the reaction we've seen, it kind of harkens me back to remembering when the internet first became more prevalent and perhaps even the Wikipedias of the world and kind of the, I guess, the fear somewhat that this could be used for a nefarious purpose. Do you see kind of any similarities to, you know, new technology being released and we're kind of afraid of it at first?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, usually there's sort of two perspectives when new technology enters into sort of our education lingo, if you will. It's the group that anticipates large transformational impact. So the optimistic perspective, right? This is going to disrupt education. And we've seen it with the TV, the radio, the internet, you know, computers, with every sort of, you know, technology that we have encountered. And now with this one. And then it's the other sort of extreme perspective, right, that anticipates that this will not have an impact on education because education hasn't changed for, you know, decades and decades and centuries. So the way that I approach it is by sort of looking at the in-between, right?
Yeah.
Because that's where things happen. That's where I think the most interesting things happen. And usually what we see happening is that technology has impact on things that we do in our classroom, on ways that we assess students, on ways that we embedded in our daily teaching and learning. But on the other hand, we also see the system of education shaping how we use a particular technology, right? So, like, for example, with YouTube is a great example. It allows people to watch a video together and type comments underneath and respond to one another. But typically what we've seen is people using it to show a video to students, right? So the ways that we typically do education shape how we use a particular technology.
It's almost like it has to
so
be... Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's almost like it has to be harnessed in the right way.
Yeah, it has to be harnessed in sort of unique ways that expand the possibilities of what we can currently do, right? So we can use the technology to replace the kinds of things that we're doing, right? We used to put in a tape into a VCR and show a video. Well, we can do it with YouTube now, but that doesn't change anything, right? But if we ask students to, say, well, produce a video and post it on YouTube and share it with others, or have a conversation about an artifact with others outside of your classroom on this particular topic, then that changes what it is that we're able to do with the technology, right? It's those possibilities, affordances, if you will, of what the technology allows us to do. And ChatGPT allows us to do some things that we were not able to do before it was available to us.
It's definitely a good comparison. I know there's a lonely overhead projector somewhere that's upset we haven't mentioned it in this conversation. But just, you know, moving forward, there are going to be, you know, tons of technological advances like this, like you've mentioned. Is it best to kind of keep an open mind when we do see things like this instead of kind of, you know, going to the extremes? Like you mentioned, you know, in practicality, this is usually somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I think the reality for us is that we, you know, there are going to be technological imbalances continuously, lots that we anticipate, lots that we don't. But, you know, the truth of the matter is we have to take a good look at our educational practices and say, ask ourselves, what can we improve here? Not because there's a new technology, but because it's better for our students and our learners and our future societies. So we know that some assessment practices are just not that great, right? We can change those without waiting for a technology to sort of, you know, encourage us towards that direction. And that's, I think, what's really exciting for the present moment that we are living in, because lots of people are talking about, well, what should the future of education look like? What ought to look like? And we've seen it with, you know, with the pandemic, right? Because the pandemic sort of laid bare inequities that we have in our educational environment. We didn't need the pandemic to tell us that, but you know, so it made it clear. And I think more and more people nowadays are interested in tackling those inequities. Perhaps similar with this one.
It's a fascinating discussion that I know is no doubt going away. But George, thank you so much for your time and your insight on this. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And that is George Velichanos at Royal Roads University in BC, Canada Research Chair in Innovation and Education as well, with his thoughts on ChatGPT. What do you think? 580-580, tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. Did we get too afraid of new technology and start dismissing it right away? We've seen it happen over and over again. Your thoughts, welcome. Text us, tweet us. We'll get to that throughout the rest of the show. Take a quick break here. When we come back, it's time for our weekly rundown panel. We'll chat about a Chinese spy balloon. It's so cold. Lots to get to coming up after the break. This is CFRA Live.
Look at my life, I'm a lot like you were. 'Cause I need you like the flowers need the rain.
You're listening to CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
8:37, welcome back. Quick update here on the weather. It's cold. Stay inside for the next few hours. That's the best I could do for right now. Joining us right now for our weekly rundown panel, CFRA's Chris Holsky is on the line. Chris, thank you so much for joining us on a chilly Saturday morning.
Yeah, who's this?
Yes, it's Ryan Knowles.
Did I agree to do this again?
Yeah, you did, actually.
I did? Okay. All right. Look, I put on a brave face all week, but...
That brave radio face.
I've been requiring regular crying breaks ever since Brock Purdy was injured and then Josh Johnson was injured in the NFC Championship last week. You haven't heard me do it yet. I'm getting close.
It's been a tough week for you. I can tell.
Okay, I'm back. I'm okay. I'm ready. Let's do this.
Yeah, I know. A tough one to get over. And Marianne Iveson also joins us. She's a radio host, entrepreneur, and podcaster, host of the podcast Let's Take This Outside. Marianne, good morning. There's no way that you're getting set to go skiing or anything outside today.
No.
I didn't think so.
Hello. First of all, that's a great way to start. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah. All I keep saying when we come back is it's cold. It's blank and cold out there. That's it.
Yeah, for sure. What sport was Holsky talking about?
Was that football? Yeah. Badminton. No, it's football, yeah.
I have a proposition because I haven't talked to you guys in a while. So I moved to the corner of Vanier Parkway and Montreal Road. And I can now see the Friends bingo from my place. Oh. Can we go for bingo soon?
On the spot, on the air, too. I have to say yes now, obviously.
Yeah, so much pressure. You guys are my friends.
There's
so.
Tape.
Back in the day before Ontario laws kicked in, if you were going to a bingo hall, you'd have to bring an immediate change of clothes after you were done. I don't think it's the same anymore.
I remember way back in the day growing up in a small town, I remember going to kids bingo, and I question the legality of this to this day, but moving on. As I mentioned, guys, it is cold outside. Everybody's kind of doing their best just to kind of stay warm at this point. Do you guys have any life hacks, Marianne? How are you coping?
Oh, okay. So I just moved this week. So I'm staying, honestly, I'm just staying inside, to be totally honest, despite the heat not working yesterday.
Oh my gosh.
Which is, no, honestly, it's been fine. But life hacks, if you actually want to go outside, I do have some hot tips. Literally hot tips. Marina wool base. Do not wear cotton as your base if you're spending any time outside. But other, or like those little hot paws. I love those for like my toes and my hands. But otherwise, like, it's just not, it's not really safe to spend a long period of a time outside today unless you're really well layered.
Well, and I know you spend a lot of time outdoors as well. Is the cotton just because it's so humid that it does kind of keep that moisture kind of trapped?
Right. So moisture is not great in this temperature. So cotton like holds on to the moisture. And then you, you know, you have a chance of freezing and it kind of like gets to your core. So yeah, no cotton, but like wools and synthetics are a good, good way to go.
Chris, text here says, it's so cold out, I saw Pierre Polio sharing his electric blanket with Justin Trudeau.
Oh, wow.
It's so cold that people are mending fences here. But how are you coping? How are you trying to stay, or how are you keeping warm?
Well, a couple of days ago, I got my running shoes for the upcoming running season from my buddy Jeremy Ross at Ross Orthotics and Craig Henry. And I got to tell you right now, I'm thinking of throwing on a pair of shorts, going out there and literally running my legs off because they would fall off at some point.
It would be very easy.
Yes, I'm announcing the launch of a new podcast. It's called Let's Take This Indoors, where I'll take outdoor enthusiasts, bring them inside, sit them in front of an Xbox for about 6 hours during the course of the day, maybe a nice cheery fire. I don't actually have a fireplace, but there are several things around here that are flammable, so that's at least a start.
I'll watch this. I will watch this, just so you know.
Yeah, well, with a podcast, it's tough to watch. If you want to watch an audio file go up and down on its volume levels, then by all means, Andrew, you can do that. I got to say this, leaving work yesterday, I mean, I dressed to go skiing practically for the 4 minutes to go back and forth from my car. And I've skied, honestly, in weather that is colder than this. But because we had such that drastic temperature drop with a warm January with no time to get used to this, it was dangerous. There was good reason why you had places like Winterlude saying, you know what, we're not going to open Jacques Cartier Park today for the Snowflake Kingdom for the much-anticipated return of Winterlude. By today, I mean on Friday. I'm not sure what the status is today. That was absolutely the right decision. I can tell you, walking back to my vehicle yesterday, having not eaten anything through the course of the day, roughly about 2.5 to 3 minutes into my walk, as I got closer to my vehicle, I was thinking to myself, you know what? I'm in trouble. If I'm not getting into place somewhere out that I'm not exposed from the wind, then I'm going to be feeling some of the consequences from that fairly shortly. When I took my glove off to reach my keys so I could get into my car, which started, thank goodness, I could feel it just, it's hard to describe it. You know that feeling when, you know, where things hurt?
The tingling. Yeah, the tingling starts.
Exactly, just going, oh, wow, this is bad. And getting back into my car, feeling just like the blood pumping from inside my body, trying to like get some more blood back into my hand to warm it up. It was very quick. When I got back, I immediately leapt into bed. It was that bad. I was feeling fairly warm. It felt like the first time I felt warm since like 4 o'clock in the morning. But it is very dangerous out there if you're not careful. And it's something that everybody needs to take heed of for, well, really the rest of today.
Yeah, even if you're going out to shovel for a few minutes, if you got that exposed skin, it is very dangerous. For me, you know, the dog keeps wanting to go outside, but, you know, after about 5 minutes, he realizes why he hates going outside right now. So we've been in this cycle the last few days of going outside every hour or half an hour, but then we're back inside 5 minutes later. So looks like it's all going to break today, hopefully. But Winterlude, to your point, Chris, they have delayed the start of some events this morning. It's starting off at noon, so it looks like everything's kind of good on that front. The China balloon story, this one has definitely caught everybody's eye here for a number of reasons. One, this is a crazy story when it comes to kind of spying and espionage and world relations and things like that, but it's also just a bizarre story on its own. Just Marianne, when you first saw this story, just any kind of initial thoughts?
It's bizarre for sure, and I also wasn't super surprised, but then I read a tweet. I don't know what the facts are on this, but I read a tweet that said that TikTok is stealing more of our data than this balloon can collect. So I like that angle of it too. And then I also saw another great tweet that said, why aren't they capturing it and studying it? Because that's exactly what China would do. So yeah. Super, super bizarre, but I don't know at this point what's happened to it or if they've taken it, but like, why can't they take it? I don't know. That's a really dumb question, but like, why can't they just grab it if it's over U.S. soil?
Well, and I've got to be just, I don't know. I almost laugh, but I understand the situation as well. It's just that the U.S., a lot of people have just been saying, shoot it down. And to me, it's just, It's a very American way to do it. just shoot it down.
Take it down. Yeah. Take it down and say shoot it down.
But TikTok, obviously, the issues with, you know, Chinese technology and some of it connected to the government obviously comes up once again. TikTok has faced criticism before. Chris, your initial thoughts on this story, is this just China being China?
Well, despite some of the data gathering that can happen over TikTok, it's still very difficult for somebody to be just coincidentally holding a phone up over on top of a nuclear installation in Montana. So still there has to be some other form of espionage happening here. Though, you know, I can't say for sure this is what China is doing. However, I can't say that I didn't trust them when they were talking about it yesterday. Oh, this might just be some kind of misunderstanding going on here. Oh, it's just a weather collection, private purposes, even though apparently there's been another one spotted over Latin America. And the United States government made the absolutely right call by saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, we don't believe you. I don't know what they can do in terms of an investigation. I'm not sure of the aerospace or flight or elevation possibilities exist, because I don't know what height exactly this balloon is at, whether they can just go up and take a look at it and see what's actually equipped to it. But hopefully there is some kind of means where they can inspect it instead of just shoot it down, no matter how many enthusiasts with long rifles, and there are a few, literally, in the United States, who are thinking, I'm going to go out there and shoot that balloon
down
for America. Yeah, they exist.
There's at least 10.
I am relieved, at least, that Canada has confirmed that, yes, indeed, we were tracking it. We did see it over the course of the last week. And this is actually one of those times where I would go, I don't think a lack of transparency here from the government was a big deal. This time around, because espionage is an entirely different game from how tax dollars are spent, honestly. And if we did spot this going over our airspace heading towards the United States, I don't think it was necessary, or it's probably too complicated an issue for, you know, plebs like us to understand about why the federal government didn't tell all of Canada, hey, this thing is drifting over top of Saskatchewan right now.
Well, and we know espionage is happening regardless every day. It just obviously becomes more poignant when you can see it kind of happening, I guess. What I took away from this story, what I thought was very interesting, was first of all, just China standing up straight away and saying, yes, this was us, we're sorry about that, having an explanation. It made me one more suspicious of what's happening, because it was just taking a sole responsibility right away. So now we see a second balloon, like you say, around Latin America. So I just wonder, you know, is this going to be the end of it? And I don't know. I guess we'll kind of wait and see on that one. Back
more
here at home.
More balloons in the sky is what's going to happen. It's like the Gatineau Hot Air Balloon Festival is going to be replaced entirely with Chinese spy balloons.
That's right. It's like the fog, right? But it's the balloons. They're all...
As long as Jason Derulo's performing, then I'm in.
I'm sure he's already volunteered, absolutely.
It's like, what cartoon show had a hot air balloon? Oh, yeah, Teddy Ruxpin, that's right. Is Teddy Ruxpin on board?
And actually, Chris, you'll appreciate this because somebody reminded me this earlier. This Chinese balloon, kind of like when Sideshow Bob steals that plane. And then the Air Force has to scramble these jets, but they're way too fast for it, right? Because it's a tiny little plane. But it kind of reminded me of that as well. We was talking about transit this week, a different kind of way to get around, I guess. But... the budget coming in this week, it's still going to be finalized coming up next month, but OC Transpo is planning a major rethink of where buses are deployed, but it says no routes will be cut. So it says it'll be, you know, adding routes where there's demand and taking away routes where there isn't. But, you know, can both of these things be true, Chris? Can you have a major rethink about buses and also not make any routes cuts?
Well, you can keep all the routes. The thing is, how many trips are we talking about on the routes? Is
Fair.
It still going to be every 15 minutes on these routes or something that's closer to half an hour? I think that's the question going forward. And look, we're looking at a situation where there is still a revenue shortfall happening with OC Transpo, and there are only so many times that you can go to the province and the federal government to ask for money until they start to say no. And given what we're heading into right now, potential recession in Canada, there are going to have to be some serious choices and discussions about how we are going to keep funding transit at this stage of the game with ridership as down as it is, with no sign that it's going to come back. There have to be some tough decisions made on how we operate buses in Ottawa.
And I guess, Marianne, just kind of more generally, when we look at, you know, the transit system that we've seen here in Ottawa, still some more issues with LRT this week. Not as bad as I guess they've been in the past, but, you know, does transit need to be a priority in this budget moving forward?
I was just looking at a bunch of tweets about this, and people who, like, for some reason, a lot of OC Transpo tweets come up, and I just have so much empathy for people who need OC Transpo to get around. That's what keeps popping up, is I'm trying to think about your day-to-day and not being able to trust your own transit system that you're putting tax dollars into. I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around, like, how do you know for sure that you're going to get to work on time? How do you know for sure that you're going to get to that appointment on time? You don't at this point.
Yeah.
There's just no trust. And when it comes to the actual budget, I just think there's a lack of trust in general when it comes to transit. So I hope they can figure it out so people can still get to where they want to go, which is the whole point of this multi-million dollar project.
Yeah, fairly simple, right? $2.1 billion. I just want to go from A to B. So I know we'll be watching that budget closely as well. Just I wanted to get to a couple more topics as well before I let you guys go. New study here suggesting that grocery stores will be completely cashless in 5 years. I was kind of surprised by this because for me, I'm already there. Krista, are you already there?
I mostly just tap a debit card on wherever I shop these days. But that said, I think it should be illegal for stores that provide necessaries or necessities to switch entirely to a cashless system. It doesn't bother me when I'm going to, say, a football game at TD Place or to go see the Ottawa Senators play at Canadian Tire Center. Those are both cashless environments. But given in the past year, within the past few months alone, one single tech company's outage managed to disable debit machines across the country. If that had gone on for another day, one more day, that would have created serious problems. If you are providing something like food, something that people need every single day, and suppose there is another kind of tech outage that removes our ability to pay digitally for a day or more, there has to at least be an option that exists to hand over some kind of legal tender or something of value that says, hey, you know, if you want to try to buy something to eat, for example, I can still hand you a wad of cash and get something to, you know, live for the next day. It doesn't make sense to me for grocery stores to go so far as to get rid of, you know, taking in bills and coins.
Yeah, maybe they go back to gold bars or something like that. Just in terms of, I guess, cashless, I don't know. For me, the only time, just to your point, the only time I have had cash the last, you know, year or so is I had to take out a bunch of cash when Rogers did have that outage. And I think that happens with everybody. So I guess there does need to be some kind of backup. Mariette, you mostly cashless now? Do you still carry cash?
Oh, like 99% cashless. The only reason I have a $50 bill in my is because I sold a couple chairs on Kijiji.
Okay.
Cash.
Yeah.
But like every time I go home, my mom always like slips like a $20 bill into my car. She's like, just in case. And again, like the Rogers outage was a perfect example of that. And I 100% agree with Holsky. Like when it comes to basics like food, there has to be that option for people who don't have credit cards, who don't have access to that. And again, if the outage happens again, there needs to be a backup. And honestly, it's a good reminder too that I think we all should have some kind of cash on us. Yeah. But 99.99% of the time, I am completely cashless. Always use cards. Love getting my points. The whole situation. Yeah.
Yeah. No. My dad's big move too is just to slip a 20 somewhere in my car at some point. So definitely a good reminder to have some cash around. But last story this week. Talk about Groundhog Day this week. This one definitely caught my eye. It was supposed to be on Thursday when this happened, and I couldn't believe it. Quebec's Fred LaMarmotte casting a shadow over Groundhog Day celebrations with his death. So essentially, they had this whole plan set up, right? Groundhog Day celebrations. But it went all the way up until they were ready to make this announcement when they found out that he had passed away. So not a good look. We saw Wyerton Willie, a big scandal last year as well. Marianne, is this an epic fail, but is this why we should stop Groundhog Day?
This is okay. First of all, this is my favorite story of the week. This is the best story because there was a video that came out afterwards. Hopefully you can share it. Of like, they still continued with the festivities.
Yeah, that's right.
Still,
yeah.
Like, it was very big. They lifted a child. Didn't they lift a child to see a shadow?
It was very, it was a very, I guess, positive still event going forward.
And there was this video of like a man or a woman or someone in a groundhog costume dancing to, you know, a very Quebec theme for the Fred, right? So I was obsessed with this just because it felt so like grossly inappropriate and hilarious. And I love how they're like, we're doing it anyway.
Yeah.
But let's do it. It's the best story of the week.
Went for it. I was just imagining just the mayor of Valdisport just going into the whatever, the cage in the morning, right? And just being like, oh, no.
Also, I think Groundhog Day is stupid. I'm just going to say. I just think it's dumb. Anyway, that's my thought.
I think it's, yeah. I think in February, we're looking for something, I guess, to get us through the rest of the winter.
It's Chris, an excuse for various communities in Canada and one in the United States in which to day drink. And really, we ran out of original ideas, to be honest, because it should have just been Wyerton. And then here we are with all of these like six or seven additional groundhogs from Shevanakety Sam all the way out to Balzac Billy. And I'm going to keep saying Balzac Billy.
Yeah, Van Cleek Hill has one too, apparently. But yeah, go on.
Yeah, I know. But America somehow gets by with just their one Punxsutawney Phil coming out of Gobbler's Knob. I'm sure that Balzac Billy would love to visit Gobbler's Knob at some point in the future.
Oh, my gosh.
And here I was criticizing Wyerton for choosing an albino groundhog because it's very difficult to cover up the death of a groundhog when it's a rare type of groundhog. I mean, they only live for roughly about 3 years. But then you have what happened in Fred LaMarmotte. My concluding thought of poor Fred is that when I saw a bunch of people dancing around, including someone in a groundhog costume, after that happened, I thought, this is exactly how I want to go out. This is my plan for a funeral. This is what even all the way down to someone in the Marmot costume. Let's get it done.
All right. No, I'll remember that, Chris Holsky, for years to come. But we'll leave it there for now. The Weekly Rundown. Marianne Iveson and Chris Holsky, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, sir.
CFRA's Chris Holsky. Marianne Iveson is our radio host, entrepreneur, and podcaster, host of the podcast Let's Take This Outside. You can also find her on Instagram and on Twitter as well. 856, your thoughts welcome. 580-580, tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back here on CFRA Live.
I can't wait for the weekend.
It's all about the weekend.
The Bell Media Weekenders.
Okay, so here we go.
No!
Powered by Barhaven Ford.
Hey, I'm Sam McDade, your Bell Media Weekender, and if you haven't decided just yet what you want to get up to this weekend, I've got a list of the greatest events happening in our national capital region that you should check out, and maybe hopefully we can decide what we want to get up to. First off, we kicked off yesterday Winter Pride, and it's on until February 20th. You can celebrate the diversity of the 2SLGBTQ+ community this winter. Enjoy outdoor drag shows on Spark Street, Family Interactive, Rainbow Ice Mosaics, a Queer Black Excellence Showcase, Drag Storytime, and other family programming. There's also a silent disco and a Winter Pride drag show. Celebrate the diversity and inclusivity of the capital with Winter Pride on now until February 20th. Now, Winterlude is also on until February 20th and kicked off yesterday. It's back in Ottawa Gatineau, featuring the iconic Snowflake Kingdom in the northern part of Jacques Cartier Park, as well as the famous Rideau Canal Skateway. Like I said, it kicked off yesterday and goes until February 20th, where you can rediscover the joys of Winterlude's activities with family and friends. There's more than six sites to explore in Ottawa Gatineau, more than 200 activities, and more than 250 performances. Don't miss the first ever Winter Pride Ice Parade in Canada on the world's largest skating rink. You can visit all the Winterlude sites hassle-free with the OLG Snow Bus, the Winterlude ongoing free shuttle bus service. That's right, it's free. You can visit canada.ca/Winterlude for more information. All right, the Canadian Culinary Championship is rounding out today, so it's been a weekend of culinary competition in the nation's capital. Chefs from across Canada battle to see who's the best in Canada, facing off in three events over 2 days, from designing complimentary dishes for a mystery wine pairing, a black box event filled with must-use ingredients, and show-stopping finales featuring their best dish. Guests can enjoy fantastic local delights and drinks while sampling food, bidding in silent auctions, and more at the grand finale. The Canadian Culinary Championship rounds out today, but you can get your tickets still at greatkitchenparty.com. Finally, Bouge Bouge Ottawa is a unique opportunity to run in your t-shirt and shorts in the middle of February. You can participate in a race through the hidden corridors of Ottawa's largest indoor centers as the Rideau and Shaw centers turn into a 2.5-kilometer loop. Come walk, run, and even dance your way through the course. Registration's now open. Visit bougebouge.com and then hit the ground running when the event kicks off at 8:45. This is happening tomorrow. It's Bouge Bouge Ottawa. On behalf of the Bell Media Weekenders, I'm Sam McDade, and I hope you find all the fun this weekend, friends. We'll talk next week.
The Bell Media Weekenders on News Talk 580 CFRA is powered by Barhaven Ford, Ottawa's newest and largest Ford store.